This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join our guest for the day, financial writer for Oanda, Christian Norman. And in the United States, it is Trader Nick. Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, guys. Good to be back.
Good to be here. Thanks, Johnny.
It's been a pretty busy 24 hours or so, hasn't it? We've, of course, heard from the US Fed yesterday with that expected quarter point cut in interest rates and also what Jerome Powell said afterwards. And then a few hours later, some what we think is positive news with warming of relations between China and the United States, with a tariff deal seemingly almost certainly on the cards, according to President Trump, who's met with President Xi. So I'd like to start with you first, Nick, and reflect on that interest rate cut from the US Fed. But more importantly, what was Jerome Powell's forward guidance?
Yes, and to your point, again, that is what matters the most is the forward guidance, because by yesterday's Federal Reserve kind of press conference and all the stuff that we're looking for, I mean, all eyes were on what Powell is going to say for future meetings, because as of yesterday, everyone, the bond market specifically, had already completely priced in the idea of a 25 basis point cut. So the 25 basis point cut did take place, which was exactly in line with expectations. And if you actually watch at the 2 p.m. Eastern time release, prices across the board pretty much move little to nothing, which shows you, again, the market had fully priced in that 25 basis point cut. However, the 2:30 press conference is where things get a little bit spicier. You get a little bit more interesting conversation. You get press conference people asking Powell different questions and trying to knock him off balance to try and get him to say something. That's essentially the game we play every single Fed meeting. And similar to the previous Fed meeting, the dollar has rallied in response to it, which would give you a little bit of a tell of what took place, which was, yes, we got a cut in interest rates, but I would largely attribute this to being considered a hawkish cut. So what we heard from Powell was that, of course, we got the cut, but that future cuts pretty much were dashed a little bit in regards to Powell's perspective. Not necessarily saying that they are completely off the table, but that it would be unfair to completely assume that December we are also going to get a cut, which, by the way, the market has pretty much done prior to this meeting. The market has, you know, kind of projected that, okay, we are pretty much locked in, going to get a cut in October and a cut in December. Powell also made reference to, of course, the government shutdown circumstance where he equated it sort of to driving through the fog, right? Proceed with caution and making too many decisions as to what to do with monetary policy when we don't have the full list of tools that the Fed usually has to make these decisions, add some unexpected variables and potentially some risk to the equation, right? If you have jobs data that is doing something very surprising secretly behind the scenes, and we have not yet gotten that data, that could sway what the Fed should have or could do in the future. So yeah, I would actually consider most of his commentary to be a little bit more on the hawkish side. We do see that in response. The dollar has continued to push. It's up again today here, following through from yesterday's upward move here. Most currencies losing some value against the dollar, specifically things like euro dollar is seeing some weakness here. The British pound also down against the US dollar, the New Zealand dollar. So a lot of dollar strength still pressing forward here, as it does seem like the Federal Reserve is likely to still cut interest rates, but at what pace? Will it be a slow process or a quicker one? And again, I think operating in the blind sort of puts us on pseudo pause a little bit in the eyes of the Fed. Also, last thing on the Federal Reserve, Powell mentioned that there was a pretty divided committee. And that tells you something about his perception of things. We would call that hawkish because if the Fed was sort of all in the same camp of like, okay, yeah, another cut is good, and then we'll start thinking about 2026. But that was not the case. Powell said, again, it's very up for debate. And he also alluded to the different motivations that within the committee we have. People have different biases. Some people are more oriented towards inflation. Others are more oriented towards jobs. That division means there's not a clear-cut path for the Fed right now. And they're watching and seeing as the data comes in, or in this case, does not come in, and they continue to wait for it.
It's certainly a very nuanced situation, not in the least thanks to that economic shutdown that we've all heard so much about so far. And just to close on the Federal Reserve, I will say, how many times has Powell come out and tried to temper expectations of another cut in December? I think he went on record a couple of weeks ago to say that markets are predicting a much more aggressive cutting cycle than perhaps what the Fed has in mind. And for me, seeing as we got that cut yesterday, markets are being told that they're going to get a less aggressive cycle. That is still definitely a possibility, but are still predicting cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts. So until the markets expect a cut and they don't get one, we're kind of in this weird situation where market expectations are not aligning with what Powell's saying necessarily. But until the markets see something on the contrary, it's a very interesting situation, definitely.
I'm interested as to why Jay Powell is actually doing this. I mean, as if, as you said, Christian, it's to a certain extent mixed messaging, isn't it, really? What is the caution about? What do you think, Christian?
Well, I think being cautious is something of a personality trait of Jerome Powell. I think that's fair to say. He's been a very politically minded throughout his time in office as Fed chair. Of course, the shutdown doesn't help. And flying blind, driving in the fog, like Nick says, is definitely an aspect of being so cautious. I guess harping on about the data and making assertions to making commitments to the data in terms of making decisions is very hard to do when not actually getting the data. So I've already cautious Powell is now even more cautious considering the situation with the economic shutdown and the lack of that crutch being the data to point his guidance. I think for me, it's a personality trait, but it's also something that is deliberately ambiguous, let's say.
Yeah, and as Nick said, we've seen the dollar jump because of those comments. Stocks were a bit negative, and the probability of a quarter point cut in December is down to around 60%. Prior to that, a move in December was almost fully priced in. What is your gut instinct, Nick? What will happen in December?
I think that Powell, in my opinion, is sort of on proxy pause due to the data. I mean, I think a rational thing to think through is like if you're the Fed chair and a lot of your data is missing in action, I mean, what can you do? You can't make a solid, you know, call. And who knows when exactly we're going to get all that data. And even when the government is back up and running, it may take some time for some of that data to filter in. So I think that an assumption that December is, certain is a little unfair, but I do still think that probably a Fed cut in December is still going to happen because, again, projections, the dot plot, when we did have most available data, right, was suggesting that the Fed would cut for two remaining times in the end of the year. We saw the first cut yesterday. I think we will probably see another cut in December. I also think that, you know, the dynamic that we're going to talk about in just a second with Trump and President Xi was a component to the Federal Reserve's prior conversation. So if you want to talk about new information, the deals that seem to be coming down the pipeline, which again, if Powell is going to stay consistent here, earlier in the year, he said tariffs could cause some inflation. We want to go slow. Well, with that same forward-looking mindset, okay, well, if there are deals now taking place that take some of that off the table, would it be fair to become a little bit more willing to pay attention to rate cuts as well? So I think the tone was set out as a little more hawkish than expected, but I still think that the path is rate cuts are coming.
Okay, of course, we've already alluded to it. The other big story is the meeting between President Trump and President Xi in South Korea, which has led to a series of announcements on closer trade ties. In fact, on his way back to Washington, Trump said he gave the meeting a 12 out of 10, which is very positive indeed. We've got a lot of optimism from Trump. That's his way. Not a huge amount of detail in what was said afterwards, Nick.
Yes, and I think that there are some assumptions that I'm going to make here that are not fully valid, but I think that they're a fair gut reaction to this. Okay, President Trump, President Xi, they met in person for the first time in over 5 years, I believe. They both kind of came away with victories to their own people. They do not want to come back later and say, yeah, that didn't work out, because that just makes both of them look weak. Like, it just does not look good for them. So at this point, they are both fully invested in the idea, like, okay, we're making deals with the counterparty, it's probably not going to be a good look to backstep from there at this point. We've already seen Trump do that a couple of times. It's the art of the deal, his strategy. We know that, you know, he backs away from deals, comes back, back away. He'd done that a couple of times. I think that the grounds have been set for a deal. We had a couple of details that I'll just share quickly. The U.S. will cut the quote-unquote fentanyl tariff on Chinese goods, according to Trump. And again, this is a lot, as you said, still word of mouth from Trump, what we're hearing post-meeting. In return, China will start the purchase, the quote, the purchase of massive amounts of soybeans and other products, according to the president. And then China says that it will make it easier for the U.S. to buy rare earths. And finally, in China says the U.S. will suspend an expansion of export controls on foreign firms listed on the entity list, which had hit Chinese companies. So overall, it seems like they both came away with something that they wanted, and the grounds are set, in my view, for a deal to be signed.
Just to add to that, I will say it's certainly been interesting to see Trump's strong-arm tactics throughout the entirety of this year since he came back into office. But it's not just the trade deals as well. You've seen him go on excursions over to Asia recently, in Japan and South Korea, building bonds over there as well. And as Nick said about the Federal Reserve and how it ties back, in reverse of what Powell said earlier in the year, if deals are being made, surely that means that we're all able to cut rates in the same way that when tariffs were to be imposed, they'd have to be paused or maintained, I should say. So it's interesting to see the effectiveness of his strong arm tactics and how the art of the deal, like you say, he doesn't back down. He comes to the table and he walks away and he comes back again. So we'll see how this continues the next couple of days.
Very interesting, guys. Final word to you, Nick. We've had some more earnings. It's earnings season, of course, and we've heard from Meta and Microsoft.
Yes. And, you know, all eyes have been on in terms of the stock market world. Yes, the three big things here, and we're getting through, this is our third one, right? So we had the Fed meeting, we had the Trump and President Xi meeting, and of course, mega tech stocks, which are still reporting their earnings this week. We still have a couple more. But last night we had Google, Meta, and Microsoft. So it was a huge release. And we had some interesting dynamics. We'll start with the good news. Google had a really sharp move higher, up 8% at the time of recording this on the day, a massive beat on their earnings, putting up a 26.79% beat in terms of earnings per share versus estimates, and a $2.41 billion surprise to the upside in terms of reported revenue. So Google had a remarkable day. Microsoft, it's pretty much, you know, I'm going to say it's not changed too much. It's down 2.3% here, beat its top and bottom line earnings as well. So did Meta. However, Meta is the loser of the crew with basically a down 10% move here this morning pre-market as the U.S. markets are about to open up. So also beat, you know, Meta, we just have to touch on this quickly. There was a little bit of concern in regards to what took place. They reported a shockingly low number in terms of their earnings. However, Meta attributed to it in its call to a one-time tax-related expense that caused a huge slide in what looks like a big miss in earnings per share. When factored out, apparently it was a beat on the top and bottom line, but just goes to show the expectations are very high for these companies.
Gentlemen, thanks very much for joining me today. We'll speak to you again on Friday.
Thanks, Johnny.
Thanks, guys.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.